All right, 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy 4. I just read something in my devotions this morning, and it couldn't get off my mind in my prayer time, and ended up realizing I need to preach about this. In 2 Timothy 4:11, Paul, who's writing the last portion of the Bible that God had him write just before he goes into eternity, he writes to Timothy, a young preacher that's been very faithful from all we see in the Bible. He's just been perpetually faithful, praise the Lord. But he writes in verse 11, "Only Luke is with me." But then he says, "Take Mark and bring him with thee." So Timothy, you're going to come here to Rome to see me in the prison. And this is not the house arrest. This is a nasty, cold, miserable, damp, dark, basically a dungeon in Rome. He says, "You take Mark and bring him with thee." When you come and you're going to bring the cloak and the books and the parchments and all of that, "bring Mark also, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." He is profitable for the ministry. Now, you'll remember that John Mark early on had a lot of potential. I preached a few years ago about a young man with a lot of potential, but he caused a big problem. He caused a big problem when he turned back on the journey. All we know is that they took off from Antioch. They sailed over to Cyprus, which was west, preached their way across that island, and then when they turned north and got to the shores of what we call today southern Turkey, where it was really difficult, for some reason, all of a sudden, John Mark wanted to go home. And he went home. And there's nothing about his dad in the Bible. We do know that his mom was a fine Christian lady that was very involved. For some reason, he went back to mom. And then all that time later, when Paul and Barnabas were back at the church at Antioch and they were ready to go out on the second journey, Barnabas made up his mind, it says. He determined to take John Mark. And that was foolish of Barnabas. You ought to be real careful about determining things that have to do with church life, ministry, spiritual matters and doctrinal matters. You shouldn't just all by yourself determine things. You ought to do that with people that love you and that are in spiritual leadership with you. And when you don't, it causes issues. So Barnabas, who was supposed to follow Paul, said, "I've made up my mind. John Mark's going with me." And Paul said, "It's not a good idea." And then Barnabas got upset, and he took John Mark, and they went to Cyprus, which is where Barnabas was from. I've heard guys say, now they went and planted churches in Cyprus. That's nowhere in the Bible. There's no indication of what they did. They just went there. And the Bible says that the church recommended Paul and Silas. So really, John Mark caused a problem. But all these years later, Paul says he is profitable. So he's saying John Mark has grown. Like now, he's not a problem. Now he benefits the situation. Vince, Paul and Barnabas eventually got back together as well because Paul uses Barnabas as a good example in 1 Corinthians. And so praise the Lord for that. And the Bible says he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so here we are. Bring John Mark. He is what? He is what? He's profitable. He's profitable. Isn't that great? He doesn't have to walk around the rest of his life with a sign hanging off him that says, "Problem causer, troublemaker, I caused a riff, I did something stupid, I turned back when the going got tough." No, Paul says he's profitable. There's another case we see like this in the Bible in the book of Philemon. Well, there's a whole bunch of them really, but just this particular word has stood out to me today. In the book of Philemon, that's right after Titus. So Paul's writing to Philemon, and he says in verse 8, "Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee," enjoin is another word for like demand, "that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee." Instead of demanding, I'm going to beg you. Now, not to put any pressure on you, but being such an one as Paul, there's a little bit of pressure. My name is Paul. You know who I am? The Lord saved me and has made me an apostle and used me to start churches all over the Roman Empire. The aged, did you remember I'm an old man? I've been around a long time. I am Paul, the aged. And now also a what? Prisoner of who? Jesus Christ. Paul doesn't say I'm a prisoner of Rome. He says, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I'm a prisoner in the perfect will of God. I'm kept by the Lord. So I'm not going to demand it, but I'm going to put a little bit of pressure on you. I'm Paul. I'm the aged, and I'm a prisoner. I'm suffering here in Rome, but I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I beseech thee for my son, verse 10, Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. What's that mean, I've begotten in my bonds? Well, we're begotten by the Word of God, right? We're born again of the Holy Spirit. Paul's saying, here in prison, in my bonds, Onesimus and I, we ended up together. He says, I've begotten him in my bonds. I've led him to the Lord. He's been born again. Verse 11, everybody out loud. Which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. Hey, Philemon, you remember Onesimus, your slave? He was a lousy slave. He was unprofitable to you. And to make it even worse, he ran away. So how much more unprofitable can a slave be than that? He runs away. So no way is he doing his job ever now. He used to be unprofitable, but now he is profitable. John Mark was unprofitable, but now he is. What does a profitable person do? They benefit the situation. They help. They advance the cause. Did we read the other day in 1 Corinthians 11:1 that Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ? 1 Corinthians 11:1. Did Paul say, follow me as I follow Christ? All right, so I want you to think about this. John Mark was unprofitable, now he is. And Onesimus was unprofitable, now he is. Okay, be like Paul. You know what would be kind of Paul-like? To now and then say, hey, I've seen you grow. I've seen change in your life. I've seen you advance. I've seen you come along and do better. That's great. That would be kind of like Paul, wouldn't it? That would be kind of Paul-like, or as some would say, Pauline. To acknowledge advancement in someone's life by the grace of God, to the glory of God, see that they're growing by God's grace and to God's glory. They're changing. And to not just have an attitude of, well, I don't want to say anything because then they might get puffed up and proud, you know. No, it's okay to say it. That's Paul-like to do that. Let's see it in a few more places. How about Romans 15, 14? In the book of Romans, chapter 15, verse 14, I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness. Isn't that kind of a blessing? You know, it's okay now and then to not say, you're totally full of yourself. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and you're just full of the devil. It's okay now and then to say, you're full of goodness. You're saved by the grace of God. God's working in you, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Isn't that kind of encouraging? Wouldn't it have been neat to have been part of the body of Christ there and to read that and go, wow, Paul's saying like, good job, we're growing. That's humbling, that's a blessing. He showed them other things they needed to get right, but he said, you've grown as well. How about 1 Corinthians? I mean, was there a more troubled, I mean, from the inside, more problems, more messes than the church at Corinth? I don't think you'll find one in the Bible. And yet he says in 1 Corinthians 4:4, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I know someone might want to say, yeah, but he also said ye are yet carnal. But he also said, praise God for what God's doing with you. He also said that too. And I wonder sometimes if us Baptists almost like don't even see those parts. And shouldn't we just go back to focusing on our horrible wretchedness and our failures that are so many? Well, God said in his inspired word, I'm seeing good things and I'm rejoicing. How about chapter 11, verse 2? Over in chapter 11, verse 2, he said, I praise you. What? No.
No, I praise God and God alone. We should never say anything good about anybody because we're all just wretched, horrible, evil worms. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances. You do that. Good job. That's really good. You're remembering Paul and you're keeping the ordinances. How about 2 Corinthians chapter 7? Again to the church at Corinth. Chapter 7, verses 5 to 16, one of the best places in the Bible to see what real repentance looks like. And Paul had an attitude of, he didn't just go around and tell everybody, oh, I'm glad you repented, just because he wanted to make them feel good. But when he really saw it, he ended that passage with saying in verse 16, I rejoice, therefore, that I have confidence in you in all things. You know what he's saying? You're profitable. You're profitable. You were unprofitable, but now you're profitable. You're growing. Praise God. Isn't this great? I can tell you, I have confidence in you. You know, over in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, he said, we are his workmanship. Oh, Paul, don't say that. We need to be told we're worms. We're maggots. We're lower than a snake's belly in a wagon track. I heard a preacher say that once. Well, yes. Yes, apart from Christ, without his grace, in ourselves, yes. But praise God, God doesn't look at me and say, there's a maggot. He says, that's my workmanship. The Holy Spirit's in him. The blood of Christ is applied. He's got my son's robe on. He's got a ring on his finger. He's glorified before me. I'm bringing him home to heaven one day. That's my son, and I love him. I'm just saying it's okay to say, praise God, you're profitable. Praise God, you're growing. Praise God, I see good things. Take the book of Philippians and see how Paul encourages, and he says, now you got to get it together. I mean, especially two of you ladies, you're fussing at each other. He names them by name. But he praises God and he praises them, not as in worshiping and glorifying them, but glorifying God for what God's doing and saying, I see it. That's awesome to me. Oh, parents, I better learn this. If you want to be a pastor, you better learn this. If you want to have a good relationship with your spouse, you better learn this. Paul's not the only one that did this. Jesus himself told John, you write a letter from me. You get the pen. I'm telling you what to write. And you write a letter to the seven churches of Asia. And Jesus said, I see these wonderful things. I see these good steps, this growth, this advancement. There are some problems, but I see good things. You're profitable. Two of them he didn't have anything good to say about, but five of them Jesus could say, there's good there and I see it. And so I want to ask you, is it biblical to acknowledge growth and change and advancement by the grace of God to the glory of God when you see it in other people? Is that okay? Should we do that? All right. I want to ask you another question though. Is it biblical to see it in yourself? You better think about this. Is that okay? You know how a lot of Christians live their Christian life? The way I've lived mine a lot of the time. Just looking at weakness, failure, wretchedness, poor decisions, wicked decisions, horrible missteps, choosing the wrong path, and just constantly going to God, I'm just such a mess. I don't know how you put up with me. I just don't know why you can even use me, and I'm nothing, I'm nobody. I am a worm. You ever think about that? But wait a minute, Pastor. Isn't that how we ought to look at ourselves? Can I ask you to think about some Bible passages? With some Baptists, it's almost like we can never rejoice that we're growing. Now, we can rejoice we're saved. But we're saved and we're wicked and we're vile and we're pathetic and we're awful. And that's all we'll ever be by the grace of God. Is that really biblical? I want you to be challenged in your thinking tonight. You know, Paul said,
He came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Amen? He said that. You know what he also said? He said, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. Amen. He said, I am his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. He said, I am justified, reconciled, redeemed, washed in the blood, glorified. How about that? He said to Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Paul didn't go around going, oh, I'm completely incapable of thinking right. There's no way I could ever choose rightly. There's no way that I could ever have my mind be right. He said, I do have a sound mind by the grace of God. Not just in and of myself, my own fleshly mind, but I can get my mind hooked up with God's mind. I can have the mind of Christ. He said, we have the mind of Christ. He claimed that, brother. Well, how proud. Take heed, Paul. Beware lest you stand. Think you stand. You're going to fall now for sure because you just said you had the mind of Christ. No, he did have the mind of Christ. That's what he wanted by the grace of God. And so I want the mind of Christ. I'm having the mind of Christ. And we need to learn this. We need to get a hold of this. It's okay to say, praise God, I am saved. And praise God, I can see good growth. Now, if you want to, you can spend all your time just looking at the weaknesses and looking at the failures and revisiting the pitfalls and revisiting the slips and the slides and the scrapes and the bumps and the embarrassments and the bad testimony. You can do that if you want. But that's not what Paul did. He said, I'm an ambassador. Well, what's an ambassador? Is an ambassador a guy that cleans the sewer system? Is he? Now, he's the guy that represents the king from the country that he sent from. We represent Jesus. We don't go around knocking on doors and saying to people, I just want you to know I'm a worm. We say, I'm a gospel herald. I've got good news for you. Now, if they say to you, well, what makes you any better than me? You can say, look, I'm nothing but a sinner, but I am saved by the grace of God, so I'm a child of God, and I've got a message from God. And you have boldness because you love the Lord because he first loved you. I don't see where Paul just kept on bemoaning all the horrible. Oh, he does in a few places. He shows that sometimes you got to say, boy, I've really, since I've been saved even, I've messed up and I've wasted time and I have some regrets. But you get up and you get your eyes on Jesus, who he is and what he's done for you, and you don't lay around just constantly rehearsing, I'm a maggot. I'm glad we're not singing, I'm a maggot, I'm a maggot, I'm just a little worm. No, we're singing, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. I was a wretch. It saved a wretch like me. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind. Now I see. I'm on the way to heaven. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King, with Jesus my Savior. I'm a child of the King, and I can pray, and I can say, oh, Lord, I hate that I said this and I did this. Or I can say, Lord, I do hate those things, and I confess those things, but I'm glad, too. I am growing. You know, there's almost like we have to focus on, well, I just felt like I've never prayed as I ought. Never have, never will. But you know, brother, I am praying more than I used to pray. Praise God. I'm learning to pray. I'm putting more time into that. I'm getting more biblical in that. Why? Well, because God works in me to will and to do of his good pleasure. And it's okay to say, Lord, you're doing a good job. Like on Brother Dan and Shannon and Hannah and Ruth and Lydia and Molly and Brother Barrett. And Lord, I thank you. You're working in me and I do see some growth. And I do thank you that I'm not where I was when I first got saved. And I'm not where I was 10 years ago and 5 years ago. But there is some growth and I know it. And I notice it and I praise you. Maybe it grieves the Holy Spirit that we don't give God any credit in our own lives. Like, you know, we can't do that. We can see it in other people, but if we see it in us, it's pride. Well, maybe it grieves God that we don't say, thank you, Lord, that I'm growing. Thank you that I'm gaining some ground. I feel like it ought to be more. I feel like I've hindered in many ways. But, you know, praise God, there are some victories I can see. There's some milestones I can look back at and say, I've gone past that one. Praise God. Paul did. Paul talked about the Spirit of God and the grace of God working mightily in him. Can I show you that in Colossians 1, verse 29? I don't know if this is helping and blessing you, but this stirred my heart today. Totally scriptural to say, I can see God working in my life and changing me and working on me.
Paul said in verse 29, whereunto I also labor. He said, I'm working, striving how? According to his working. It's God. It's God that gets the glory. Which worketh in me mightily. Paul didn't always just have to say, which works in Apollos and works in Timothy, works in Titus, works in John, works in Philemon, and works in everybody else, but I'm just such a maggot, such a loser. No, he said, it's working in me too. Matter of fact, it's working big time in me, mightily. I wonder if Paul went, whoo! I doubt it. He was a Jewish learned theologian. He probably didn't make noises like that. But I think Paul said, this is awesome. God's working in me mightily. You know, it's okay to say, you're profitable. I see it. And thank God, I can see growth and change and advancement in my own life. Now, just in case you think Paul's the only one, let me remind you what James said. James said, I'll show you my faith by my works. Yeah. He said, praise God, I've got works. I can show you my faith. Jude started his little epistle with Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ. He said, I'm a slave of Jesus Christ. He didn't start it with, I'm just such a pathetic slave to sin. I'm just such a, you know, I do believe we are sinners, but we're saved by grace. Sinners, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And when I go to my Heavenly Father, He doesn't see a worm crawling up to Him. He sees a child coming up to Him and saying, Abba, Father. Amen? He says, come boldly to the throne of grace. He doesn't say, you come in here scraping and scrabbling along on your hands and knees with your head down like a miserable puppy that's afraid he's going to get kicked in the head. You come in boldly as a son before his father saying, Heavenly Father, I want your name to be hallowed. I want your will to be done. I want your kingdom to come. I want daily bread. I need forgiveness and cleansing. Yes, I want to forgive others. But you don't get the impression in Scripture that God wants us to come in praying like we're the most miserable, despicable people, and we just have this self-loathing and this self-hatred. And okay, let's think about our flesh for a minute, all right? In my flesh dwelleth no good thing, amen? The same with you. But do we see that being the focus all the way through the New Testament? Like we go to God and just go, Lord, I know that I'm just so horrible and wretched and there's nothing. No, we come in standing in Jesus Christ, robed in His righteousness, pleading the blood that's on the mercy seat, Jesus interceding for us. That's how we come in. Lord, I thank You that You saved me. I don't have to come scraping and crawling in here like some beggar who doesn't know You and You don't know me. I'm not looking down for fear that You won't stretch out Your scepter and my head will be taken off. Lord, I'm coming in boldly because of Jesus. And I can thank You, Lord, that not only am I saved, but I can see the growth in my life by Your grace to Your glory, by Your Spirit, by the Word of God. And Lord, I thank You that I'm saved, and I thank You I'm growing. And I want to keep on growing. And you might think, well, that'll just make you proud. It has the total opposite effect on me. I think it had the total opposite effect on Paul. Paul said he was less than the least of all saints. Paul said he was the least of the apostles. But he also said, I'm an ambassador for Christ. Praise God, God's working in my life. What about Peter? Peter wrote 1 and 2 Peter. Does that sound right? Is that a trick question? He's trying to get me in there. No, did Peter write 1 and 2 Peter? Did Peter in 1 and 2 Peter go back and revisit what he did when he denied Jesus? No. There was no need to. Did he go back and rehash everything he did when he was foolish in Antioch and he dissembled and Paul had to rebuke? No, he didn't. There are some times when it is needful to tell something bad about yourself to help someone else. But it's not that we always need to be doing that, and we don't need to be telling ourselves that all the time either. What does that help? How does that edify? How does that build us up? How does that strengthen us? I've heard people say, I'd give my right arm if I could change that. And I've said, you don't have to give your right arm because Jesus gave His right arm and His left arm and His feet and His head. He gave His whole self, so you don't have to give any part of you. You can rejoice that that's under the blood. Peter didn't go over his failures. No, but he did say things like this. He said, by the grace of God, I am an elder and I'm an eyewitness of the sufferings of Jesus Christ. That's awesome to me.
It's okay to get happy that other people are growing, and it's okay to get happy that you're growing. Just give all the credit to God. Just give all the credit to the Lord. I just like this so much. I just want to keep making up more. I don't want to stop. This is such a blessing. I read when I was about 18 years old, I read where Bob Jones Sr., he said, I know that people stand up all the time and go on and on about what a worm they are, but he said, you can do that if you want. I've decided I'm going to be thanking God that I'm a child of the King. I'm not only a child of the King, but I'm a king myself. That's what the Bible says. I'm a joint heir with Christ. That's what the Bible says. I've been adopted. I'm the Lord's. I'm with Him. Praise God. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You know, this. If you still are having trouble with this, let me just show you how Paul went out into eternity. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Morbid introspection just discourages you. What do you think is going to happen with your child if every day of your life you tell them you're a loser, you don't know how to think straight, you're foolish, you're stupid, you're weak, you'll never be anything? You tell them that every day. What do you think is going to happen with them? What if every day when you went into work, you said, I'm an idiot and I can't do anything right? And spiritually, that's what a lot of us do a lot of the time. We just keep rehashing and rehashing. I'm just a loser and I'm pathetic and I'm a failure and I've wasted most of my life and most of my Christian life. I've been an idiot and a fool and I haven't made right decisions and I just can't. And sometimes we take verses that God said about lost people who are in open rebellion against Him and we apply them to us. And I'm here to tell you, that's resting the Scriptures. We ought not to be doing that. I think God's people are totally capable of having a sound mind and making wise decisions because the Bible says so. Be filled with the Spirit. Grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have to spend my whole life saying, I can never decide anything because I'm just an idiot and a fool and I'm saved by the grace of God. I've got the Holy Spirit within me. I've got wisdom and knowledge from God. And I can be yoked up with the Lord and following the Scriptures and walking in the Spirit. And the Bible says to me to walk in wisdom toward them that are without. If I can't do that, how can I do it? I can do it by the grace of God. Let's see what Paul said. So Paul's ready to go to heaven, right? 2 Timothy chapter 4. I mean, he's at the end. This is his swan song. And what's he say? Well, I just want you to know, Timothy, and a whole lot of things, I've just been such a fool. And I can't say anything good about myself because if I do, that'll look like pride. I can't say a single thing that I've done as far as growing and advancing because someone will think I'm puffed up. I can't say anything like that, Timothy. I've got to just say, I'm a worm, I'm a maggot, I'm less than a dog, I'm the least of the least and the lowest of the lowest, actually, you know what Paul said? He said, I am ready. He said, I'm ready to go. Now, this is the same man that back in Romans said, I have to fight with myself. And there's things I would that I would not, you know. And he said in 1 Corinthians, I have to keep my body under and bring it into subjection. Isn't that right? But he said, praise God, I've been growing. And I am learning and I'm advancing. And he's able to say, I'm ready. And look at this. The time of my departure is at hand. And he said, I have fought a good fight. Now I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of places where if an old preacher stood up and said, I want to tell you, I think this will be my last message. I'm ready to go over to heaven. Praise God, I fought a good fight. There's people that would go, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. As if that man can never say, praise God, by the grace of God, I fought a good fight. Paul did. Filled with the Holy Spirit, inspired Scripture, God said, write down, I have fought a good fight. And then he said, I have finished my course. You know what that's saying? I started off traveling with the Lord many years ago, and I've been running one foot in front of the other, and Paul's saying, I've looked back and said, well, I really have. I've come along. I've grown. I've passed mile markers. I've done it. Praise God, I've advanced. I've gone down the trail. I have finished my course. And then he said, what's the next part, everybody? I have kept the faith. I'm glad Paul didn't go out saying, I never did enough. I never tried hard enough. I just grieved the Holy Spirit the whole time. No, he said, praise God, I've grown. Praise God, I've grown. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that what? Paul said, I love the appearing. You know what John said? John, describing himself, said the disciple whom Jesus loved. And John, describing himself, said, we love him. What are you, John? Someone that loves God. Because he first loved us. You see, you always give God the glory. But as you give God the glory, God ought to get the glory. And God's not getting the glory from a bunch of Baptists, like a lot of Baptists I know, and maybe you've thought this way, from a lot of Baptists who their whole attitude about everything is like, God saved me, but you know, I'm just garbage and trash and junk. And that's like saying, God, you saved me, but you haven't done what you said you'd do. And the truth of the matter is, if you'd take some time and look back to where you were and where God's brought you, you have grown. And it's okay to praise God for that. I'm going to go a step further. I'm going to say, it's not okay to not praise God for that. You need to praise God for that. You're supposed to follow Paul, and I'm supposed to follow Paul. And Paul got happy over the growth in his life. It's really a good thing, and that really helps some of us if we'd start learning that. I'm telling you, most of my Christian life, my attitude towards this person right here is like, it's horrible, okay? Now, I should have no confidence in the flesh. I should have no confidence in a vain mind or a mind disconnected from Scripture or me not filled with the Holy Spirit, but that doesn't mean that I should never be able to say, God, actually, you know what? As much as I hate some of the failures and some of the wasted time and bad decisions and all, praise God, I'm growing. There hasn't been near enough of that. And that strips confidence. I want to go back to my illustration. If you told your kid every day you're a loser and a clown and you can't accomplish anything, how do you think they're going to behave? They're probably going to behave like a loser and a clown that can't accomplish anything. Is that about right? You know, if you tell yourself constantly, if you spend all your time in prayer just bemoaning your wretchedness, guess what you're probably going to do? Wretchedness. But if maybe if we'd say, Lord, I want to thank you. You saved me. I'm on the way to heaven. The Holy Spirit lives in me. I'm walking with the King. I'm an ambassador of Jesus Christ. I'm a servant of the Most High. I'm a king. I'm a priest. I'm a son. Jesus is my older brother. I've got a new name written down in glory. I've got a robe and a crown and a ring on my finger. And I'm not barefoot like a slave. I've got shoes on my feet. And there's a mansion waiting for me. And I used to be a beggar on a dunghill. But the Bible says now I sit among princes. Maybe if we thought a little more like that and talked a little more like that, we might be more prone to act a little more, you know, like what we just talked about. As opposed to just daily flogging ourselves like Catholic monks or something. I praise God for grace. Grace to be saved and grace that grows us. I hate the defeats. But Brother Barrett, I've got Scripture to tell me. I can praise God for the victories too. And I'm going to do that. And I think you ought to do that. You need to do that. Notice profitability in others and praise God for it in yourself. This isn't an Oprah Winfrey self-help thing. This is about self-confidence. No, it's about God-confidence working in us to His glory by His grace. Amen.